20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. We continue our study of the second commandment, one of the longest given, and we read them in context again this morning before we get into the exposition of the word. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol of any likeness of what is in heaven above, everything we know about the word jealousy, the concept of jealousy, is negative and dirty and deplorable. And yet God reveals by revelation to Moses, I am a jealous God. He doesn't say if. He doesn't say developed. He says, I am a jealous God. He actually states this with a kind of affirmation. I am. He doesn't move up to it. He doesn't cloud the issue and then sneak in behind saying this is the way it's going to happen. I was thinking the other day of the people who were trying to work out some starting day for hockey. And all the wives said, oh, that they were still working on it. If the season doesn't start at this time, it will start this time. If it doesn't start this time, it will start this time. If it doesn't start this time, it will start this time. And nobody knew what to expect. Just when you thought you had a handle on the whole season, something happened to interfere with it, and now it's a shortened season, I'm told. Dear friends, that's what we're used to, and that's sometimes how we see God. We see God working toward things, adjusting things as we get to know about it, so that what we know about God is what we think about God, because we're now at the place where we can understand certain things about God. The jealousy of God is something we can never work up to. It is declared. It is affirmed. He states it. He doesn't dialogue it. He reveals it. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, none could move to this place where they could, now I understand. Not so. God comes out, if you please, my friends, and with a deep, deep sense of who he is. I, self-conscious person, existence, whole within himself. The word our I there speaks not of just a pronoun. It speaks of the substance of God, the content of who God is. And he just comes out with it. And if God is to be God, then, my friends, he will come out with affirmations about himself that stagger our minds, although we would want to understand. George Morrison, who lived in another time, 1866 until about the 1920s, wrote this about God. All our associations with the word jealousy, gathered from the experience of life, create in us an instinct that avoids attributing jealousy to God. And I had that little quotation for this reason. If a man or a woman were writing something about God, they would never put about God something negative about him because they want to attribute good to him when they have a negative attitude about that thing itself. If I am going to write about God, I'm going to put what I think is the best qualities on God. I would never put something upon God I think in myself is not a good quality. So jealousy is a revelation of God. It's an affirmation by God. And secondly, it is an attribute of God. It is an attribute of God. An attribute, my friends, is that part of a person or a thing that gives substance to that thing or person. I wanted to turn to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. Exodus 34 and verse 14. Again, God is speaking of idols and images, and he says, verse 12 of Exodus 34, "Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you're going, lest it becomes a snare in your midst. But rather you are to tear down the altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherims. For you shall not worship any other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous." For the Lord, whose name is jealous. God says jealousy is an attribute of his as much as love is an attribute of God. Now, we might not be able to understand, my friends, everything about what God means when he says he is jealous. But the clue is the fact that God says, whose name? It wasn't Moses who concluded that this is God's name. It is God who says his name is jealous. The term name used in the Old Testament and in the New, for that matter, consists, my friends, of two things. Whenever the word name is used in the Old Testament, and especially of God, it is speaking of his existence and his character. So God is saying his name, that is jealous, exists with him and is a part of him. God could never be who he is without being a jealous God. We must begin to lift our thoughts about God, because, my friends, if we are to understand everything there is to understand about God, then we will be equal to God. If I understood everything about God that is to be known about God, then God is no higher than I am. He's equal to me, or I'm equal to him. So he comes now and he says, my name is jealous. I exist with this quality. This quality is a part of who I am, and I want you to understand that. I want you to bow down to this truth. Jealousy might have a dark conception to the human mind, but it is an absolute necessity in the character of God, as we shall see in a moment. And so we begin by the fact, my friends, realizing that jealousy was not something that man stumbled on along his religious pathway or his religious pilgrimage. Jealousy is a revelation by divine affirmation. It is a part of the divine attribute. Look, you'll see that jealousy in the Bible is by divine attestation as well. That is, others recognized it. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 19, Joshua is rehearsing his last days with the people, how God brought them through the wilderness, some not making it because of their unbelief and their idolatry. And now he's speaking with them. And if you read Joshua 24, 19, it might disturb you, because you will find Joshua saying something like this: you cannot serve the Lord, for God is holy. He's a jealous God and will not forgive your sins. Wow. Say, just a minute. I thought God was a forgiving God. Of course he is. What Joshua is saying, don't take God lightly. That's what he's saying in verse 19. Don't look at sin and then say, well, God certainly didn't mean this, what he said about this. It is okay if I make an idol and I don't worship it, as long as it helps me along the way to perhaps see God a little bit better. Don't take God lightly. He says, don't make any. Doesn't say not only to worship them. He says, don't make them. And if I make something to help me to try to understand God better when I don't understand God at all, then I'm taking God lightly. I'm saying I don't need to take seriously what he says when he says, don't do this. So Joshua said, you must take God very seriously. When he says, don't do something, or the consequences will be this. So that's what that verse means. So Joshua understood the jealousy of God. The book of Nahum. I thought I was going to ask you to turn to Nahum, tell you what page it is in my Bible, but that would not be funny. Because I dare to say that many of you have been in the book of Nahum recently. But there's a fascinating thing in the book of Nahum. Nahum, my friends, is the book written to the Gentiles in the Old Testament. It is the book that will again say to the people of Nineveh, you didn't take God seriously the first time. He gave you a chance to repent. He gave you a chance to turn, but you didn't. And now the attribute of God is being expressed in the book of Nahum. And what God is going to show is that his jealousy will not tolerate the idolatry of Nineveh. Nahum was the prophet sent to Nineveh to once again declare what Jonah had declared previously, that God does not take any rival lightly. He judges it, whatever that might be. And as I was thinking of this, I taught myself that the jealousy of God is expressed not only in time, but the jealousy of God is expressed in eternity. You see, when Satan and the angels, who did not keep their first estate, when they said in heaven, we are going to be like God, they were saying, we are going to rival God. And God shows that he will not tolerate any kind of rival with himself because of who he is. God said those angels who did not keep their first estate were cast down because the jealousy of God must act where there's disobedience. We shall see what that means in a minute. So it's attested to by the prophets, by men and women in the Bible. And of course, as we come to understand it, men and women outside the Bible. Look then at jealousy defined. We have talked of jealousy in God. What does it mean? We have to define it. Francis Bacon, the British essayist, said, not atheist, essayist, said of jealousy, jealousy is the mother of all profound unhappiness. Jealousy is the mother of all profound unhappiness. He continues, it is the vilest of all passion. It distorts everything and it blinds the vision. Jealousy is the mother of all profound unhappiness. Of course, who can talk about jealousy without talking about Othello? Shakespeare's character, who was gentle and kind and had qualities that most people would like, until he became insanely jealous with a woman. And the jealousy led him to murdering her. And he blamed his jealousy for it. But do we need Francis Bacon to tell us about the ugly side or the dark side of jealousy? Do we need William Shakespeare to tell us how terrible jealousy is? No, my friends, we don't. Because if you go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 34, we are told that jealousy is a rage. Human jealousy, affected by human sin, is something ugly and vile, destructive, something that no human being in his right mind would love to embrace. So then, if this thing is so ugly in man, can there be any virtue of it in God? Let's look at the sacred definition. The sacred definition. When God says he's jealous, what does he mean? What does he mean when he says, my name is jealous? My character is a jealous character. It is this, dear friends. The jealousy of God means that God would be inconsistent with himself if there were no other gods and other gods were created. God would be inconsistent with himself to allow people to believe that there were virtues in images when there was none. If God were not a jealous God, he would let you and I believe a lie. He cannot allow his own character to be, I was going to say duplicated, because no one can duplicate the character of God. But he cannot allow anything to try to represent that which cannot be known and allow it to go on as though there are values and virtues in it. He would be inconsistent with himself. So what is jealousy? Jealousy is that emotion or the activity of God by which he's moved to protect and to preserve his own dignity. If God is a God of truth, he must preserve truth in himself. He will not allow creation to believe a lie, or his creatures to believe a lie. If God is the only God, we were singing it this morning, holy, 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 there is none beside thee. If that is true, friends, God cannot be silent with his own character if someone else creates another God. But it's not only that. If God is a jealous God, it is to preserve his image in you and in me so that we might believe truth and not believe a lie. It is to preserve his own image in you and in me. See, it was interesting. You go to my study at home, And you will find my study just littered with books all over. I'm so happy I live in a home where I have my own study. Some years ago when we lived at the other house, I used to study on the dining room table. And I'm amazed that my wife is still married to me. She used to go crazy when she would come home and she would find books all over the place. Now I can just close the door and leave them there. Go to whatever page I want to go to. But it's interesting. As I read some of the great minds on this theme of jealousy, and there aren't a lot of them, not many theologians have taken to deal with the jealousy of God for some reason or another. As I read them, most of them dealt with the jealousy of God in an objective way. That it had to do with God's love for his creation, and that is true. But my friends, we have to understand that the jealousy of God is initially and ultimately for the purpose of God himself. Let me suggest to you that when you see a man who is in love with another woman, and someone takes that person away from them, and that person goes and he gets a gun and he shoots the person who takes his lover, as the case may be, that man is in a rage. You see, the jealousy of God is not wanting something for himself because he cannot do without it. The jealousy of God is that the integrity of who he is, might be kept intact. R.W. Dale, great Scottish minister from another age, wrote this. I love it. Jealousy is but the anger and pain of insulted love. When God resents the illegitimate transfer to material symbols of the devotion which was inspired by his own acts in those who are now becoming idolaters, it is not because his greatness suffers any diminution. It is not because God's greatness is depleted, or because his authority is impaired. He cannot endure to lose any affection or trust or reverence which has been stirred by his own acts in our hearts. To take what God has been doing in me and attribute that, as Aaron did in that day when he looked at the golden calf and said, "You brought us out of Egypt." My friends, that was an insult to God. Last week I looked at a text, which I didn't read to you, from the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 15 talks about the fishermen who worships their nets because the net would bring in the fish. The same as we worship technology when it does for us what we think. No one else can do for us, not even God. Whatever works for us, that's what we tend to worship. And God says, not so. You alone are God. There is no other God. And to suggest that God can be reduced to human level by human creation, and to suggest that man can rise to the place where he can get to the place where he could see God for himself without the aid of God, is an insult to God. An insult to God. J.I. Packer talks about jealousy. He said, jealousy is not a compound frustration in God. It is not some compound frustration or envy or spite, as human jealousy so often is. But I like these words by J.I. Packer. Jealousy appears instead to be the preservation zeal of God of something supremely precious. The preservation zeal of God of something supremely precious. The character of God. You see, dear friends, if the character of God is nothing more than the concoction of my mind, then I can create a God that will release me to do whatever I want to do. And God says, I can't let you do that. My jealousy for you will never allow me to allow you to deny any aspect of my character. We shall see how that works in a minute. Thirdly, jealousy demonstrated. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 again. You shall not worship them, serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children. Now, this is not talking about grandchildren, please. It is talking about generations who perpetuate whatever. Let me suggest to you this way, friends. If this generation perpetuate homosexuality as a part, as a kind of a lifestyle, the next generation will pay the same penalty this one is paying. That's what it means, visiting the iniquity upon the generations, the children. It is talking about those who live from one generation to the next, perpetuating wrong. God says, my jealousy will not allow me to let that go unpunished, nor to try to rescue. Listen to what he says, visiting. Interestingly enough, this word visiting is the same, a parallel to the Greek word from which we get the word elder. An elder is one who visits as a friend, if you please, or a foe. He comes to see what is taking place, if everything is in order. And if everything is not in order, it is the elder's responsibility to correct what is out of order. That's exactly the word here that God is using. I visit. In this case, he's visiting on the one hand negatively. Visiting the iniquity. The word iniquity is to turn. God says, I am the Lord your God. And they turn from that to idols. So iniquity means to turn from. Having turned from God, God says, my jealousy cannot allow you to go on. Listen, friends, think it through. If God were not a jealous God, he would let humanity continue in its perversion for generation and generation and generation and generation without end. You and I would have nothing to look forward to if God were not a jealous God. If God is love, and he is, then jealousy is the other side of divine love. We'll see in a minute. God comes then to visit the iniquity. He may warn. He may judge. He may delay. But make no mistake about it, friends. God will judge idolatry in whatever shape or form it might be. We in this age do not worship some idol sitting in some place, standing in some place. But we have other idols in our lives. Someone has said the idol we worship at in this world is the idol of sex. The idols we worship is materialism. Idols we worship can be anything that crowds God, takes over the passion of the heart so that God is neglected. Sure, since this is God's world, since God makes the law for our world, since God says what is right and what is wrong, and he's actually, my friends, the plumb line for all those things, God's law by one generation do affect when there's a defect, when there's a breach. That law, when breached in one generation and carried on, will accrue God's wrath. Dr. Alan Cole says this, and I just quote for some of our thinking this morning. What are some of the ways in which God visits the iniquity? By the way, if you know the rest of the verse, it says, of them who hate me. And he's talking about idolatry. It is at the root of idolatry is a hate for God. That's what God says. That's what the scripture says. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. They hate me. Now, God is not insecure. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that humanity under sin has taken a stand against God. And my friends, whenever humanity takes a stand against God, God will win. He's not in competition at all. But listen to some of the way Dr. Alan Coles says this. Examples of God's punishment of his moral world when his laws are breached, says Dr. Cole, slavery. A man who does not see the image of God in another man will enslave another man for just the simple reason that he might be different. He goes on to say, exploitation. Hitler said, if nature can be rude to man, then I can be rude to man because nature is my God. Exploit people. He goes on to say, pollution. If I don't see this world as God's world, God has put it. Let me suggest before I say this. We can choose to disobey God, but we cannot choose the penalty for doing so. And God says, if you do this, this will be the end result. This is why in Romans chapter 1, inasmuch as they did not like to retain God in their minds, God gave them up to that which he had prescribed as a penalty for disobedience. Pollution. If you don't see God's world as God's creation, then you will destroy it, you will exploit it to do what you want. Immorality, as Romans chapter 1, are examples of this principle. What we call natural results, says Dr. Coles, what we call natural results are God's law operating on the principle that he visits the iniquity of those who hate him. My friends, I would not say that every catastrophe in the world is caused by this, but I'm going to suggest to you that there are catastrophes in the world that are punishment for people and nations breaching God's law. Lastly, and I close briefly with this, negatively, God comes to punish. Positively, God comes to bless. I'm glad that this is part of the text. But showing loving kindness to thousands. That word thousands, my friend, is not one and four zeros. It is a euphemism for endlessness. That which cannot be counted. God will show. Listen. He will visit the iniquity upon the third and fourth generation, but his blessings are endless. That's jealousy. The jealousy of God does not simply come, my friends, to condemn the wrong that we do, but the jealousy of God comes to express God's love for the good that we experience. Listen to what he says, showing mercy. The word is hased in Hebrew. It's one of the richest words in the Old Testament. As grace is in the New Testament, and of course grace is found in the Old, but as grace is the emphasis in the New Testament, mercy is the emphasis in the Old Testament. And the word mercy, my friends, is so full. The NIV calls it the unfailing love of God. I call it the unwavering, the dependable, the consistent love of God expressed to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the jealousy of God does not only come to acknowledge what is wrong. It blesses what is right, what is true. Paul puts it this way. He said, I used to be a blasphemer. I persecuted the church, but God had mercy, hesed, on me. He had pity, and he rescued me. That is what the jealousy of God does, friends. Listen to how it climaxes for us. I quote again the words of Dr. George Morrison, I couldn't say it any better. And it was that love, that great love, purged of its grosser elements and shone in a beauty that man had never dreamed of. That love, that mercy, was at last revealed in Christ. The jealousy of God is the true key to some of the darkest deeds in the Old Testament. But don't forget also that the coming of Christ is an expression of the jealousy of God. Let me paint the picture for you. God created you and he created me, Adam and Eve, in his own image. Satan distorted that image. And God was not at a loss for what he was going to do. Because he was jealous for his creation, he had to do something to bring it back to where it really belonged. And so great was the jealousy of God for humanity, you and me, that he expressed the depth of his love, the jealousy for the souls of men, by allowing his son to come into the world and to die as a common criminal on a cross. The cross, my friends, is truly the answer to the deep, deep secrets of the Old Testament. And it is the joy of the New Testament, because in the Old Testament there are deeds we cannot understand why God would send his people into a place and say, I want you to destroy everyone there. The jealousy of God cannot allow sin to continue. And God says, this is how I will deal with it. The devil thought he had won the final battle. He had the final word when he caused Adam and Eve to sin. No, I have the final word. I will send my son into the world and he will die to express my love for the world. And he did. And the greatest verse of scripture that every child knows this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not, finish it for me, perish. The mercy of God, he shows his mercies to thousands. Have you experienced his mercy? Is there an idol you must get rid of today so that God can show you his mercy and cause your life to flow as he designed it? Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that your word will accomplish your purpose and not mine. That if anything was said from this pulpit this morning that is not of God, that it will fade from our minds so quickly that we would not even remember we heard it. But where truth and God's revealed word was proclaimed, may the Spirit of God make the application necessary so that we might experience the meaning of God's jealousy for me. He loves us so much that not even the devil will have the last word when it comes to our souls. God will, and we thank you in Christ's name.